This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We looked at that, you know, if we don't move at all, I think that's 25 picks in 3 years, which is over, you know, eight and some change. So I like where we're at there, on top of, you know, being set up next year to have a pretty good setup as well. And I think it matches the draft. I think a lot of guys went back to school this year. I think you're going to see a significant drop off. You know, hopefully some guys squeak through, but it actually, the way we're set up in the draft this year actually pairs up really well with how I think it's going to play out.
That's him, Ryan Poles, talking about feeling good about how the Bears are set up. I mean, I don't like the math. There's not really mathing there, you know. Just because you had 12 sixth-round picks and seven fifth-round picks, and then you have only four this year, and you try to be like, yeah, well, we had nine a year on average. Saying, I hear you, but them stats ain't statin', Mr. Poles. But he has turned some of those draft picks into top-quality talent. Of course, the 40th pick in the draft now belongs to the Washington Commanders. That's your Montez Sweat. You got a fourth-rounder to turn into Keenan Allen. You got Bates in there as a fifth rounder. So, you know, that's really what you should be doing, or what I'm sure most pundits will do after the draft is over when accumulating the draft stock for the Chicago Bears. They will include them when giving them a grade. But still, a ton of work is still yet to be done. The draft still needs to happen. It is a week away, April 25th. My daughter's birthday, get to work. The Late Late Show with Hub Arkish. Giving you all the details on the first round.
I'll be here with you.
Oh, you're producing that show?
Yep.
Alex Kuhn going to be producing it as well. But that's what we get to do, man. We talk a little bit more about what's happening in this draft, and we get to do it with our next guest. And, of course, draft coverage on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download that Circa Sports app today, of course. He's the pulling guard, senior consultant at the Defiant, all-around offensive tackle that we get to talk to about some more offensive tackles. It is Kyren Samuels. Kyren, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Happy to be on, and always happy to talk a little bit of football.
Of course. Now, I'll tell you this. A lot of people, you know, felt good about, Darnell Wright last year, right? So when looking at the Bears, you know, draft capital at number nine, a lot of people are feeling indifferent as to whether or not – you know, they want to take an offensive lineman. First, talk to me about Darnell Wright. What were your thoughts of him last year, and how do you think he did overall as a pro in the league?
Well, Darnell Wright was a guy that I was extremely high on early because, you know, I'm in the Alabama area, and I'm an Alabama fan, grew up an Alabama fan. So when I saw the performance that he put on against Will Anderson in the Alabama game and Tennessee finally beat Alabama for the first time in 17 tries, he was really the guy that went high up on my radar, and then just watching the rest of the games and how he progressed through the offseason when he checked off all the boxes at the Senior Bowl. I was down there to cover that, how he checked all the boxes at the Combine. He was my OT3 last year, and I probably had him a little bit too low. It probably should have been OT2, maybe OT1, and if we're doing like a revisionist history here. But I really like Darnell Wright. I thought he had a hell of a rookie season, and I think he's only going to build and get better. He's so comfortable and his technique, and he doesn't have to refine very much. He just needs to get a little bit stronger and just get more comfortable playing. Once the game slows down a little bit, I think you're looking at, you know, in 2 or 3 years from now, maybe an all-pro caliber player.
So then that begs the question, Kyren, looking at this year, the 2024 draft, you know, if you get to number nine and clearly you have your board and your rankings currently as they sit, you know, Braxton Jones there as the left tackle right now. He's been a mainstay for the last couple of years. do you go and get, you know, one of these top-tier offensive linemen to pair, you know, with a Darnell Wright? Or, you know, do you feel comfortable with a Braxton Jones and a Darnell, you know, mixed in with a couple of other guys that they could potentially be getting later in the draft or from what they have?
You know, this is an interesting question because as a lineman and as a guy who likes to think about the game inside out, my first line is always go offensive line, right? But I think it truly depends on what wide receiver is on the board at that point. If there is a chance that Aroma Dunze is still on the board there, even with the Keenan Allen acquisition, even with getting DJ Moore, the thought of getting a talent like Aroma Dunze for the long-term future to partner with the presumed number one pick, which is Caleb Williams, is extremely enticing to me. So I really like that prospect. And another name that nobody's talked about at all that I think would be super interesting is the prospect of a Brock Bauer there. I mean, everybody talks about the positional value of a tight end, right? But he's such a unicorn of an athlete and a guy that I think unlocks that offense in a particular way. Cole Kmet is very good. He's definitely more of an in-line guy. He's not the same type of threat you have with Brock Bauer, where you could probably flex him out a lot, use him as a strictly wide receiver and a lot of sets. So he's another guy that has interesting prospects for me at the ninth pick there. But if I'm Ryan Poles and Olu Fashanu there at number nine, it's going to be very hard for me to pass up the idea of pairing Olu Fashanu with a guy like Darnell Wright for the next 8 years, 10 years, however long, because you want to keep those guys for decades. I think the prospect of having two bookends like that will supersede anything else.
It's a lot of options there, Kyren, and I think that's why Ryan Poles, and he's mentioned it a couple of times in some press conferences, that, you know, it'd be boring if, you know, he didn't trade down or trade up or make a trade in this one. He said he'd be comfortable with it, but he said it would be boring. And I think about the number nine pick, and I think about all the names that you mentioned and the ones that we didn't that could still be available at the number nine slot. And that's why I feel in my heart of hearts that there will be a situation where the Bears find themselves trading down, because the idea of Olu Fashanu being there still at 11, 12, 13, if you're trading with a quarterback-hungry team like Denver or the Raiders, that going down, putting some quarterbacks in front of them can still get guys like that there. What do you feel like is the lowest you can see Olu Fashanu or even some of the other, maybe not a Joe Alt, but, you know, maybe like Troy Fontenot, the J.C. Latham going in? Like, what are the lowest you can see those guys going before the run is over on the top-tier tight ends, or excuse me, top-tier offensive linemen in the first round?
The thought of trading back is definitely, I know a lot of Bears fans wouldn't want to hear it, but it makes a ton of sense, like you just said, right? But I don't see any of those guys falling outside of the top 15. I think even if there's a chance where, like, hey, there's, you know, 13, 14, 15 there, and all three of them on the board being Fashanu, Latham, Faltanu, or however, I don't know if I'm butchering his last name, Troy from Washington, the Washington left tackle. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that I think teams will trade up for. I think teams will trade up for the prospect of an Olu Fashanu. So I think that when you get in that range right there, that 12 to 15 range, it becomes a little less, crucial when you're talking about trading up for those guys. You're not trading up to get into the top three. You're not trading up to get to the top five. Those guys are so good, I think that you would see teams probably try to trade up and get that talent. So anywhere in that 12 to 15 range where I see all three of those guys going. So I don't see him falling pretty much past that.
We're talking to Kyren Samuels from the Pulling Guard and Defiant Takes right here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 9 o'clock. You know, the Bears also have the 75th pick in the draft, and a lot of people are saying that the offensive line positions are the deepest in this draft. When you're looking at the 75th pick, when you're looking at that maybe third, fourth tier of offensive linemen, guys that, you know, might be a tad bit undersized, you know, maybe, you know, a guard, someone that could be like a swing guard type, but you feel like can learn the game, maybe he still has, you know, a lot of room to grow, somebody that'll surprise you in a couple of years. Who are some guys like that for you, Kyren, that stand out on the third and fourth tiers?
Oh, man. So there's a guy by the name of Javon Foster from Missouri. He was the tackle for them this past season, but I think he's a prime prospect to move inside and play a little bit of guard. He gives you a little bit of versatility, right? He's played inside, he's played outside. Very strong frame. He's a guy that I think could be pretty imposing in the run game. I got a chance to see him up close and personal at the Senior Bowl this year. You know, I go down there. It's in my hometown, so I cover that every year. But seeing him get out there and really compete and be physical, you know, you get to these all-star games and, you know, they're not in full pads every day. So, some days they're in shell, some days they're in just shorts. But every day that guy was down there, he was going full speed. He was as physical as you want him to be, powerful hands. He led it all out and he let it all be on display. So when you get a guy that's that competitive, even in a setting like that, where a lot of people are just coming, you know, check off boxes and look pretty, that caught my attention a lot. So when I went back and watched a lot of his film and watched a lot of Cody Trader, the running back film, you see him just moving people off the ball. So he's a guy that I really enjoy in that mid prospect. And there's another guy, it's a guard named Mason McCormick. I don't know if he's going to go as high as, you know, 75th pick, right? But he's a guy from South Dakota State, SDS kid. He is a mauler, man. He's an athlete. He's physical. I had access to watch film of the East-West Shrine practices at that bowl game, and he was just standing out, man. He's a guy that I really like his film. I like his demeanor. He has a ton of experience. He's a guy that I think that can make the transition to the NFL level, and like you said, in a couple of years, we'll be looking at back and saying, like, how did this guy fall to the fourth, fifth round, or maybe the third round? So he's another guy that I really, really like. We're talking about that third, fourth tier.
Yeah, so what's the first thing you look at, right? Because reporters, when they go out there, they're looking at offensive linemen, right, Kyron? And they have, you know, their opinions and how they go about it. But you're the hybrid. You're the reporter that also played the position at a high level. So when you get out there and you see somebody immediately, whether you're, you know, scouting a Joe Aud or Olufoshana or anyone for that matter, Javon Foster, like you mentioned, or Mason McCormick, what's the first thing you're staring at to try to differentiate a good offensive lineman from a great one?
You know, this is an interesting question. I get it a ton. So it's one that I've had to really think about over the years and really develop a real answer for it. And the first thing I look for is balance, right? Normally when you're going to these big events or even when you're watching film of these elite schools like in Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, there's multiple prospects there, right? So you're going to be evaluating more than one guy. So you're probably going to have to figure out a system and a way to do it efficiently. And one of those for me is just balance. If I'm looking at a guy that is in strong positions all the time, he's never on the ground, he's not off balance, off kilter, he's not getting pushed forward by defenders, he's not getting swim or he's not getting club ripped where he's off kilter a lot. To me, that is the fastest indicator to showing you a guy that has strong core, good strength, great feet because he's not off balance. As much as the core is involved with balance, having great feet and being put in position, putting yourself in position to not be swung around and thrown off is something that I look for a ton. So if he's balanced, he's probably checking the boxes in all the little areas in terms of the particulars I'm looking at for an offensive lineman as well. So that's easily the first thing I look. And then we'll start to get to little particulars like, hey, does he give me a punch variety in his pass sets? Is he flashing his outside hand and clapping with his left inside hand? Is he, giving me some short sets? Is he changing up the sets? Like, that stuff is pretty high-level stuff. So I don't judge everybody on that scale because not everybody's going to have that, especially at the collegiate level growing up. If I'm looking for just a general perspective, it's that balance, man. Those guys that are on their feet all the time, in good positions all the time, normally check the boxes everywhere else.
Sounds like your brain's just going a mile a minute while you're watching these offensive linemen, Kyron.
That's really, I love it, man.
I was going to say, that's what's really going on. But on the other side of the coin, right, are the defenders, right? And you've obviously gone up against your fair share of D linemen, and you know what separates a good one from a great one. So are there any great defenders in this draft on the D line?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think there's a couple, right? And I think there's more specialists than anything in this draft. I don't think there's a ton of guys that are well-rounded. I think the most well-rounded defensive player in this draft in terms of defensive line is Dallas Turner. He's going to give you setting the edge. He's going to give you great stuff in the run game. And he has some pass rush prowess. He has a little bit of a pass rush bag. He gives you a little bit of everything. Then there's a guy like Leatu Latu from UCLA who's a monster off the edge in the pass rush. And he's probably the best pure pass rusher in this draft in terms of his pass rush repertoire. And he's not bad against the run at all. I mean, he's not bad, but he's just not as good as Dallas Turner is. And Jared Verse is a guy that gives you a little bit of all of that, right? I don't think he's as good of a run defender as Dallas Turner. He's not as good of a pass rusher as Leatu Latu, but he's a really good combination of the both of those guys. And I think all those guys are going to be top 20 players, man. But I think the most well-rounded is definitely Dallas Turner. And if we're going to go on the inside, I think there's two special players on the inside, and that's Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas, and Johnny Newton. Some people know him as Jerzon Newton from Illinois. So those two guys, they're not getting talked about a lot in this draft. And I think both of those guys have all pro potential. And it's really shocking to see like the lack of discussion around those guys, especially when you turn on that tape. Those guys dominated. I know T'Vondre Sweat got a ton of the pub for Texas down there. You know, he's a bigger guy. He has a little bit more of an eye-catching type of play. But snap to snap, Byron Murphy was dominant at points for those guys. And in that little frame, only 300 pounds, fights double teams as well as anybody in the draft. And Johnny Newton, in terms of disruption, especially getting after the pass and just wrecking games, there's not a guy in the draft that does it more than Johnny Newton. So I think those two guys on the interior and those three outside guys that I spoke of are the cream of the crop for this draft in terms of defensive line talent.
Yeah, and we obviously saw a lot of Johnny Newton here, with Illinois being right around the corner from us. And then Murphy gets a lot of love because, you know, it is a position that the Bears are still feel like they're lacking, despite the two draft picks to address the position last year. It's something that, you know, the Bears are still looking at. And obviously these names get thrown around, Kyron, when, you know, Bears fans are talking about trading down, who could potentially be someone that they could take, you know, in the event that they go down a bit further. But, you know, the nine is there. Nine is there for the Bears. Everyone kind of feels confident that they're going to take Caleb Williams. But my question to you is, you know, in your mind, to try to help out Caleb as best as possible, right? I know you mentioned earlier if Aroma Dunze is still available, which who I'm a big Michael Penix Jr. fan, so I've been watching Rome for a couple of years now, so I'm all for that. But in your mind, you know, what do you think is going to be better to help the young rookie in his first year? Is it getting another mainstay on the old line, or adding a third weapon to just, you know, confuse teams as much as possible?
You know, this is such an interesting question because I don't think you need a ton on the defense. I mean, if we look over the last half of last season, the Bears' defense, I don't know if people realize how good they were defensively, and they bring a lot of those guys back and upgrade it in some spots. So, you know, adding a vet like a Kevin Byard that, you know, he's not what he was, but he's a guy that can still probably get you, you know, 3 to 5 interceptions on any given season and just be a veteran presence back there. And then, like you said, they can probably address the interior of the defensive line a little bit. I like Jermon Dexter a lot, but, you know, they could use another guy there. And when you really break it down like that and then add the fact that they got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, as wide receiver, you have Cole Kmet at tight end, who's a solid tight end. You go get a DeAndre Swift at the running back spot. I mean, listen, there's two spots, in my opinion, that they should be focusing on. And there's only the only way that will change is, like I said, is if a special talent like a Roma Dunze is there. But if not, I think offensive line, interior defensive line is where they should focus. And that, those are the only two places where I feel like they need significant upgrades to really make a run for it. I mean, we've seen young quarterbacks have these early starts, right? You know, everybody has their opinion about them, but Brock Purdy came in there. You know, he's done a very good job in his limited time as a starter in San Francisco. C.J. Stroud comes in, has great success with the Houston Texans, even going to a Jalen Hurts, right? He wasn't fantastic his first full season as a starter, but they made the playoffs, right? Made the playoffs, got beat in Tampa Bay. Next year, they're in the Super Bowl. So all those teams, in my opinion, built inside out. We saw the Houston Texans upgrade that offensive line and go out and get, you know, Laremy Tunsil and then Titus Howard. They secured those two guys, and they drafted three interior offensive linemen guys in center and let those guys rotate out, and so they figured out the right combinations, and they got a Shaq Mason. And then you go look at the San Francisco 49ers. We know how good they are up front. Even the Philadelphia Eagles, best offensive line in football, to some people's opinion. So upgrading the offensive line and the interior of the defensive line, in my opinion, is paramount for those guys.
Yeah, I just, you know, in my mind, I know, no disrespect to you because you're the offensive lineman here, Kyron. But, and like, when you're a fan, you're like, okay, we did the offensive lineman last year, number 10. And like, we did that already. And don't do it again, all right? Let's just give me some sexy. And like you mentioned, you know, Roma Dunze being there, even the thought of Malik Nabers, like the way that some mock drafts are panning out, and you're like, I'm just telling people, I'm like, those are people that are just not watching enough tape. Like, you see Malik Nabers, like, he's not going down that far. It's not happening. He's that good. Here's a name that I see a lot of people talking about that, you know, people are going to be anxious to trade up for. But I tend to think that, you know, it's just not going to happen. And it is the trade for J.J. McCarthy that a lot of people are talking about. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think, like, the Vikes or somebody's going to want to give up that much draft capital for a project that's going to take a couple of years. What's your opinion on that? You do think that he's worthy of that trade-up?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think he's a first-rounder. And it's not an indictment on J.J. McCarthy. I think just the way the NFL has prioritized quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, right, these guys are becoming extremely overvalued. I don't think there's a first-round grade on anybody outside of the big three quarterbacks being Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. I love Penix Jr. a lot. I got to watch Bo Nix a lot. I think he made incredible improvements over the course of his career. And I'm just not convinced about McCarthy on anything. We haven't seen enough of him carrying the show, making the throws, being in a game-breaking situation where he has to carry the load of the offense. And I don't think that's a problem, right? Like, a lot of people kind of use that against him. I'm just saying that's just a fact of the matter. We haven't seen a lot of it from him. So I'm not a guy that's out on McCarthy and definitely not a guy that's in on McCarthy. I don't think we've seen enough to have a strong opinion about him either way. And you typically don't see those guys go in the top five, top ten of the draft. Those guys used to go in the second, third round. You know, the type of guys that I'm talking about are the Kirk Cousins, the Russell Wilsons that went in the third round, right? And if they turn into what we think they could be on tape, you see the glimpses of it, right? They never had to really carry the load, but you saw the glimpses of it. So the Dak Prescott, the same type of way, he carried a little bit more of a load of Mississippi State, but it was in more of a gimmicky style offense with Dan Mullen there. So those three quarterbacks are the guys that I've been using to kind of like remind people of where the talent used to get drafted and what it can look like if it does turn out to be that they're an NFL-level quarterback, they have everything we need. Those are the type of guys that you can get, but you can get them in the third round. You don't need to reach for them. So just an interesting time in terms of perspective on the quarterback.
Yeah, and then especially what the Bears just went through, right? They showcased to the league, like, hey, maybe don't give up all of your future to go get a quarterback because you might be in a bad situation in the short term for, you know, and that short term might be longer than you want it to be. And if you're the Vikings and you're giving up two first-round picks for to move up to five or six or whatever it is, it's like you're going to have a bad team and no draft capital to get blue-chip players to get your team out of that purgatory in the event that J.J. McCarthy is mediocre to, you know, to okay, not even good. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough for people to do that. Another draft pick that I feel, and, you know, you mentioned the three blue-chip quarterbacks, and in my mind, I think that if Jaden Daniels isn't available at number three, I think at number three, I think the Patriots go Marvin Harrison Jr. It seemed like to me, Kyron, that at the beginning of the draft, everyone understood that Marvin Harrison Jr. was the best player in the draft. And then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, but he's going to go fourth to the Cardinals. And I'm thinking, if I'm the Patriots, there's not an immediate need for the reasons I just gave with teams that, you know, have a good quarterback but just still have to wait to figure things out. You can get Marvin Harrison Jr., make him a cornerstone of your team. You're still going to suck. And the next year, you got the first pick, second pick, and you could potentially end up with a Shedeur Sanders. Now you got Shedeur Sanders and Marvin Harrison Jr. instead of putting the pressure from the beginning on a guy like Jaden McDaniels or Drake May. What do you think about the Patriots? Because there's a lot of rumors going around about, you know, them having multiple options and things they want to do. Which direction do you think you're leaning in when it comes to the Patriots at three?
You know, ultimately, I think they do go quarterback, but I don't hate the prospect of taking Marvin Harrison Jr. there. Or even trading back. I mean, trading back, you don't have to trade back far, maybe from three to six or seven. I mean, a Rome or a Malik Nabers isn't a bad consolation prize for getting whatever you would get to move up there. So I like the prospects of that because, you know, they do have a great bridge quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. He's not some world beater, right? But he's a guy that can go win you nine games, and that might be enough to get into the playoffs, you know, especially if we get the Patriots defense healthy again. I mean, Matthew Judon missed a significant portion of the season. Christian Gonzalez missed most of the season. If we can get those guys back and healthy, and that Patriot defense is what I think it could be, you know, they could win eight or nine games easily with a Jacoby Brissett quarterback. And, you know, you mentioned some of the guys next year. There's Shedeur Sanders and Carson Beck. But, you know, Dak Prescott hasn't got his contract situation resolved yet with the Cowboys. So that guy could be a free agent next offseason.
That's what
I'm
talking about.
You could be in a position to maybe acquire a guy like that. So I do think there's options for the Patriots there at three. I think they end up going quarterback, but 100% with you there. There's a lot of options that sound really good if you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah, nothing's wrong there. All right, before I let you go, Kyron, got to ask you, I tried to avoid it the whole interview, Caleb Williams, going to be a member of the Chicago Bears next Thursday. Overall thoughts on him, and what do you think he can do for this franchise?
I know this is going to sound crazy to say, especially to a Chicago fan base, but temper the expectations a little bit, and you'll be greatly rewarded. I think he is going to be what they say he is eventually. I don't think he's going to come out of the gate like that, but I love what Caleb brings to the table as a quarterback. I mean, people talk about all the play extension, everything he can do with his legs, you know, off-platform throws and just making stuff happen out of thin air, which a lot of it had to do with just, you know, poor play calling for one, or I won't say poor play caller, but predictable play caller one, and then poor offensive line play. But the snap-to-snap consistency that he has is the most enticing part about him to me. He throws from a great foundation, throws from a great base, has all the arm strength you can ever want. He knows when to put touch on the ball, when to fire it in there. He knows how to lead with anticipation. He throws a great deep ball. He's accurate in all three levels of the field. He has everything you could ever want in a quarterback from a talent standpoint. Just give that talent a little bit of time to flesh itself out. They've done everything they could do, in my opinion, to put some better pieces around them. I mean, you got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. They go get a valuable running back like a DeAndre Swift, and who knows what other upgrades they're going to make during this draft period and over the course of the offseason. But if you temper the expectations a little bit, don't expect them to come out and be a world beater immediately. But I think that guy eventually is going to be everything that people say he is, because he does have that level of talent. He has rare talent, and he has rare confidence. Some people hate it, some people love it, but he is who he is at all times. And another thing that I want to throw in here before we get out of here, talking to people at the USC football program, this is something that I thought was very cool. They say he's the hardest working guy on that team. They said he works his butt off. He's getting workouts in the day of games. He has a workout routine that he does the morning of a game. He's just that type of guy that he loves being in the gym. He loves getting right for games. So everything you can want in a quarterback, I know it's a little bit of different swag, especially for a Midwest city like Chicago, but I think that eventually he'll win people over, and I think eventually he's going to develop into the quarterback that people say he is right now.
If you can get some wins, you can certainly win over an entire city. I heard you say to temper the expectations, Kyron. Okay, I will. Fine, no Super Bowl, at least NFC Championship game. That sounds right to me. I'm just playing. All right, Kyron, I appreciate you hanging out, man. Hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you, man. No problem.
Kyron Samuels, the Pulling Guard, senior consultant at Defiant Takes. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Kyron Samuels. Some good stuff right there that he has up about a lot of the prospects in the draft. But again, some good opinions on NFL stuff as well. I want to open up the lines. 312-644-6767. We had a healthy conversation about the draft right there. I feel like we went in a lot of different directions. But one thing has been constant in a lot of these conversations that I've been having with people. And it is that there is no definitive answer as to whether or not the Bears will either move up or down with that number 9 pick. People can tell you what they want to do if they move up. They can tell you what they want the Bears to do if they move down. But there's no consensus. In your mind, what do you think the Bears are going to do? In your mind, what do you think the Bears should do? 312-644-6767. Move up or move down?
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to take your calls and your texts after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think it's very offensive heavy, this draft. I think it's a draft class where if you have needs and you want to add talent on the offensive side of the ball, this is the draft to be in terms of the talent at the quarterback position and the talent in the offensive line, plus the wide receivers, as we talked about. And those right now are the premium positions in offensive football. They really are. So if you need offensive tackles, this is the draft to be in. You need a wide receiver that can immediately produce, this is the draft to be in. And if you need a quarterback who can be the future, now, I'm not saying every one of these quarterbacks is going to start day one. I don't believe that. But if you want a quarterback who you can develop and has the traits to win and produce in the National Football League, this is the draft to do that.
Matt Bowen right there with Bernstein and Holmes. Talking some good stuff. Spin the truth. It's funny that in the draft where there's that much talent, in an offensive-driven league, the Bears have two top 10 picks. And it is a very large possibility that they do not trade either one of those. In a supply and demand world where the demand is high, Bears might not be capitalizing on it just because they want to add those pieces to their own team. But the question remains with that 9 pick, are they going to go up or down? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Russ out in Palos Heights. Russ, do you want him to go trade up or trade down?
I want him to avoid Marvin Harrison.
Okay.
I think him big-timing teams and telling them to look at the tapes and not bothering to work out for them is going to be affecting his status in the draft. I just don't think that General Motors look at that as a positive, that the guy is so ego-bound that he thinks he's his father.
And do you think that's the issue, that it's the dad, or do you think it's just the believability in his own talents?
Well, it may be both. They may be looking at it and saying, you're better than I was, kid. And they may be not giving him the best advice. I think he should have showed up. I think the other teams, the other guys that are in his position are going to move ahead of him in the draft pick because of that.
Yeah. Do you think there are any players that do stand out to you outside of Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Roma and Neighbor are, you know, they're
so
guys
a wide receiver.
That stand out.
Okay, yeah, so a wide receiver. A wide receiver nonetheless. Okay, I get it. Listen, I've said that on the air, so I totally understand what you're saying, and I wouldn't want to give – I don't know. It's tough. I will say those are red flags to me, everything that he's done. And I can't tell you enough how disappointed Mark Grody was when I brought it up. Like, I was like, hey, so what was it like on the radio? I was like, so what was it like at the Combine when – Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't show up, and he's like, Gabe, we were all there. We were all there waiting.
He was waiting in the hallway, like scoping.
No,
because he announced he wasn't coming. Right.
Yeah, he said everyone was in front of his podium. Yeah, you didn't hear the story?
I missed this story.
Mark Grody and the contingent of reporters are waiting for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, no.
Because everyone, even if you don't do your measurables, you don't do any of that stuff, you have to talk at the podium. That's why Caleb did it. That's why Jaden Daniels did it. Everyone did it. At least you got to talk to the
reporters. If you do nothing else, you have to do that.
Exactly. And so they were all waiting for him. And it was like a no call, no show to work. Where like even the NFL people were like, had to come out and say, hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to be talking. And then I think it was like Grody said that he asked or someone asked like, well, is he eventually going to come out? And they're like, more than likely not. And then he didn't. And then he didn't show up to the pro day. Like, he's like, I'm not doing no pro day. So it's like things like that. Like, are you amazing? Are you super talented? Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, but is he going to be T.O.?
Like, I'd take that.
That's what I was going
to say.
I
would take T.O.
The wrong question isn't, is he going to be T.O.? The question is, do you want to deal with a T.O.? Right? That's the question.
I might. He's that good.
I know. Now you're going to have to give up draft capital and deal with a T.O.
Not to give up draft capital, though, for
if
the record.
You're saying if you went down the 9?
Correct.
So for you, is it trade up or trade down for the Bears?
It's got to be trade down. You can't trade up and give away more draft capital in a year where you have 4 picks.
Okay. All right. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Patrick out in DeKalb. Patrick, trade up or trade down for the Bears?
I'd stay where I'm at. But I did have a question for you, Gabe.
Yeah, I'm listening.
My question is, you know, organizations out there like the Bears organizations, they only let you know what they want you to know or hear about what that is. My question to you is, if they did not pick that, pick Caleb with number 1, what would you do and what would the response of the city of Chicago be?
Okay, it's a great question. Thanks for the call, Patrick. If the Bears were not to take Caleb at 1, what would I do and what would the reaction be? Let's start with what the reaction would be. I think at this point, whether you're Ryan Poles or you're the casual Bears fan, you understand that Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in the draft. And so all the doubt that once was on the Caleb versus Justin situation, all of the, you don't know what you're going to get in Caleb. Well, now that we've moved on from Justin and Caleb is the answer, to then go to the second tier of quarterback, even though I'm still, I got to stand by my Drake May thing. Again, it was Drake May and draft picks, not Drake May versus Caleb Williams. But if you're going to go down to that second tier, at that point, you're risking your job, Patrick, because that's really what it boils down to. If Ryan Poles drafts Caleb Williams and Caleb Williams underachieves, he can still keep his job. You can justify taking Caleb Williams and him just not panning out and you building a good roster around him and then being given an opportunity to fix that mistake. If you trade out of 1 and take someone else and they suck or they're just whatever, mediocre, you lose your job immediately because you passed up on Caleb Williams and you passed up on CJ Stroud. So, again, I think the reaction would be, oh, man, it'd be a bad one. I think even the Justin fans would concede, like, well, you should have at least taken Caleb Williams. So I think that's one thing. And then me, what I would do, I don't know. At this point, I am convinced.
It's so hard to imagine.
Yeah, it's like, so hard to imagine. At this point, you're just like, nah, you just got to take Caleb Williams.
Yeah, they've done everything to make it so that they have to do it. Yeah, like,
all right. Yeah. We got more phone calls on the other side because I do want to hear from you. This is great. I'm going all the way till 9 o'clock. Of course, the Cubs game got postponed. Rain came. Is it raining? Yeah, there's some water. There's some rain coming down.
It is, in fact, raining.
So, of course, that got postponed. Doubleheader will be on Saturday. I'm taking over in the meantime. So I got you till 9 o'clock. Going to take more of your calls. When it comes to the Bears, number one seems like a lock. But the number nine, there's no consensus. A lot of people saying the Bears should either trade up or trade down. What do you say? 312-644-6767. More calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score. Talking draft, guys. It's a week away. Like, do you understand next week, Thursday, at this time, Caleb Williams will be a member of the Chicago Bears? That's wild. And then you will be having a baby anxiety attack waiting to see what the Bears are going to do leading up to number nine. Like, do you understand that's going to be the most compelling hour? Like, what time does the draft start, actually? 6:30? Is it 6:30?
I believe that's when
Roger
Goodell goes up to the mic.
Oh, my goodness. Like, from 6:30. Could you imagine, do me a favor. Could you imagine someone trying to have a conversation with you about something other than the Bears between 6:30 and 7:30?
No, I'm not going to allow. I mean, can't allow it.
Like, you're watching the draft and someone's like, hey, so I was thinking in the kitchen, I want to do burgundy.
Yeah, my girlfriend. I'm already nervous about that.
Or like, for me, it'd be like I'm trying to watch the draft. And then it's like my kids being like, hey, Poppy, can you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
What are you going to say?
Whoops.
Have you prepared yet?
Whoops. Get your eyes out of here. No, the good thing is this. This is the beauty of my job, is that whenever I really, really want to lean on, air quotes, this is my job, guys. Like, I'm not just having fun. This is not fun for me. I could always lean on that.
Yeah.
My wife's putting the kids to bed right now.
You're tweeting.
But I can,
this is my job. What do you mean?
What do you want me to do? Do you not want me to watch the draft? I have to be on the air at 9 o'clock with Hub Arkish. How am I not going to watch this draft? What are we talking about? I'm watching the Bulls game. You're just sitting there watching the Bulls game. What do you think I have to do tomorrow? Oh, it's a good one, right?
It's a good argument. They can't say, they look at you like, you.
Guys, I know you're jealous, but it's my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite thing to do. All right, let's go back out to the lines because the question still remains. Bears, we assume we know what's going to happen at one. Nine is a bit different. Do we want the Bears to trade up or to trade down? Let's go to Mark out in Brookfield. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, good. Do you want the Bears to trade up or trade down?
I mean, in my eyes, you can't go down. You got to trade up. You know, I think the Bears are just the organization that we're used to, always going backwards, right? You know, you take one step forward, you go four steps backwards. And I think us as Bears fans and everybody around Chicago, I think we're tired of it. We got to move up. Marvin Harrison is that dude. He's the guy that's going to turn a team around. I think Caleb Williams, him, DJ Moore, and whatever pieces they add in the future will be great. That'll make players come to Chicago. Nobody wants to come to Chicago because it's a great city to be in, but the players just ain't there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Mark, let me tell you this. This is the one thing that, you know, you heard Buddy from Palos Heist mention, and it was that, you know, he didn't, I talked about everything, right? He didn't show up to the podium, stuff like that. My concern is, and actually, okay, low-key, I'm not concerned. If he comes to the team, nobody's worried about Marvin Harrison Jr.'s productivity, right? What I'm worried about is as a man, right? He comes in, he wants to be the man. And then he has to share the load with two other people. It's not like Roma Dunze, who came out and said, man, I've been watching Keenan Allen tapes, right? Like, I don't even think Marvin Harrison would say that. It feels like I watch my own tapes. That feels like that's what he would say. But I'm worried about him not getting the ball as much as he wants, and it just kind of creating some sort of disconnect. And we saw it with Justin, where he was hyper-focused on getting the ball to DJ Moore sometimes. Remember in the beginning of the season? He's like, man, he didn't throw it to him enough. And then they put the pressure on him like, hey, you got DJ Moore. If it's a 50-50 ball, it's probably a little bit, it's probably 55-45 when it's DJ Moore. Just give him an opportunity. And then he was laser focused on him. And what I would hate is for Caleb to then feel a certain type of way about any of the receivers, right? And I wonder if Marvin Harrison Jr. would be that guy that would immediately put himself on that platform with those other two instead of understanding that he's going to have a long, long career in the league. I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough one. Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Rallo and Morton Grove. You want the Bears to trade? Excuse me, Ralph. You want the Bears to trade up or trade down?
Hey, what's going on, Mahinta? Yeah, man. I thought about it as far as when is the next time we're going to be in this position? So it's going to be either my personal experience, which is, or my personal opinion would be to stand pat. Obviously, we have only 4 picks. So get your blue chip player, because when is the next time we're going to have 2 top 10 picks in the top 10? So either stand pat, get your blue chip player, build get that other bookend offensive tackle, or if you see that person going back, then trade back. So I'd rather stand pat at 9.
Ralph, let me ask you this real quick, because as you were talking and you're like, when's the next time you're going to get a blue chip player? I was like, damn, where are the Bears going to be picking at next year? Let's play this game real quick, just you and I. Where do you think, so if the Bears are at 9 right now with their little baby 7 victories, where do you think they're going to be drafted next year?
My heart tells me.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do this.
My heart tells me in the perfect world, mid-20s. Okay. Mid-20s. In a perfect world, the next 10 years, I would want them to be mid-20s. But I'm 40 years old. I've been a Bears fan since I was 8 years old. So
yeah,
I don't want to be the bad news Bears. I don't want
to
be.
No. We have to reinvent ourselves, Ralph. We have to reinvent ourselves.
Exactly.
Say it with your chest. 22. We're gonna be picking 22 next year. Say it with your chest.
Exactly, Gabe. Exactly. I want to be in the middle of the pack, and I want to be perennial. At that level.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. I really appreciate
it, man.
312-644-6767. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, after next week, Thursday, we as Bears fans are no longer going to be able to lean on the narrative that we're just some schmucks that get it wrong. At least not until the season starts. We get a window from April 25th, 6th, until game one of the regular season to have what's at the very least is false confidence. At the very least. Because it could turn into actual confidence and actual success. But we can live there instead of being like, I don't know. Oh, Justin Fields, 50-50, sucks, doesn't suck. Caleb Williams sucks, doesn't suck. Bears, Brian Poles, I don't know. No. April 26th, we get to say, as an organization, as a fan base, we're here. We should be able to compete at a high level. But again, the draft still has to happen. It's going to happen next Thursday. And I'm cool with taking more calls. You cool with taking more calls? I love it.
Absolutely.
Alex Kuhn producing today. Again, man, Cubs game postponed. So, we're filling in all the way till 9 o'clock. So, again, 312-644-6767. It's not just whether or not the Bears should trade up or not. If you got some Bears thoughts too, I have no problem leaning heavy into this Bearsdom that we're doing right now. All right. But the number 9 pick, no consensus. Everybody has differences of opinions. Even Ralph threw in a third option, which is stand pat. What should the Bears do? What do you want the Bears to do? Trade up, trade down, or as Ralph said, stand pat. 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez. Right here on The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
We're back Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score. Talking draft. Guys, it's a week away. Like, do you understand next week, Thursday, at this time, Caleb Williams will be a member of the Chicago Bears. That's wild. And then you will be having a baby anxiety attack waiting to see what the Bears are going to do leading up to number 9. Like, do you understand that's going to be the most compelling hour? Like, what time does the draft start, actually? 6:30? Is it 6:30?
I believe that's when
yeah.
Roger Goodell goes up to the mic.
Oh, my goodness. Like, from 6:30. Could you imagine? Do me a favor. Could you imagine someone trying to have a conversation with you about something other than the Bears between 6:30 and 7:30?
No, I'm not going to allow. I
mean, like,
can't allow it.
Like, you're watching the draft and someone's like, hey, so I was thinking in the kitchen, I want to do burgundy.
Yeah, my girlfriend. I'm already nervous about that.
Or like, for me, it'd be like I'm trying to watch the draft. And then it's like my kids being like,
yeah.
Hey, Papi, can you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
What are you going to say?
Whoops!
Have you prepared yet?
Whoops! Get your ass out of here. No, the good thing is this. This is the beauty of my job, is that whenever I really, really want to lean on, air quotes, this is my job, guys. Like, I'm not just having fun. This is not fun for me. I could always lean on that.
Yeah.
My wife's putting the kids to bed right now.
You're tweeting.
But I can, yeah.
This is my job. What do you mean?
What do you want me to do? Do you not want me to watch the draft? I have to be on the air at 9 o'clock with Hub Arkish. How am I not going to watch this draft? What are we talking about? I'm watching the Bulls game. You're just sitting there watching the Bulls game. What do you think I have to do tomorrow? Ooh, it's a good one, right?
It's a good argument. They can't say, they look at you like, you.
Guys, I know you're jealous, but it's my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite thing to do. All right, let's go back out to the lines because the question still remains. Bears, we assume what's going to happen at 1. 9 is a bit different. Do we want the Bears to trade up or to trade down? Let's go to Mark out in Brookfield. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, good. Do you want the Bears to trade up or trade down?
I mean, in my eyes, you can't go down. You got to trade up. You know, I think the Bears are just the organization that we're used to, always going backwards, right? You know, you take one step forward, you go four steps backwards. And I think us as Bears fans and everybody around Chicago, I think we're tired of it. We got to move up. Marvin Harrison is that dude. He's the guy that's going to turn a team around. I think Caleb Williams, him, DJ Moore, and whatever pieces they add in the future will be great. That'll make players come to Chicago. Nobody wants to come to Chicago because it's a great city to be in, but the players just ain't there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Mark, let me tell you this. This is the one thing that, you know, you heard Buddy from Palos Heist mention, and it was that, you know, he didn't – I talked about everything, right? He didn't show up to the podium, stuff like that. My concern – is, and actually, okay, low-key, I'm not concerned. If he comes to the team, nobody's worried about Marvin Harrison Jr.'s productivity, right? What I'm worried about is as a man, right? He comes in, he wants to be the man. And then he has to share the load with two other people. It's not like Roma Dunze, who came out and said, man, I've been watching Keenan Allen tapes, right? Like, I don't even think Marvin Harrison would say that. It feels like I watch my own tapes. That's what he would say. But I'm worried about him not getting the ball as much as he wants, and it just kind of creating some sort of disconnect. And we saw it with Justin, where he was hyper-focused on getting the ball to DJ Moore sometimes. Remember in the beginning of the season? He's like, man, he didn't throw it to him enough. And then they put the pressure on him like, hey, you got DJ Moore. If it's a 50-50 ball, it's probably a little bit – it's probably 55-45 when it's DJ Moore. Just give him an opportunity. And then he was laser-focused on him. And what I would hate is for Caleb to then feel – a certain type of way about any of the receivers, right? And I wonder if Marvin Harrison Jr. would be that guy that would immediately put himself on that platform with those other two instead of understanding that he's going to have a long, long career in the league. I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough one. Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Rollo and Morton Grove. You want the Bears to trade? Excuse me, Ralph. You want the Bears to trade up or trade down?
Hey, what's going on, Mahinta? Yeah, man, I thought about it as far as when is the next time we're going to be in this position? So it's going to be either my personal experience, which is, or my personal opinion would be to stand pat. Obviously, we have only 4 picks, so get your blue chip player, because when is the next time we're going to have 2 top 10 picks in the top 10? So either stand pat, get your blue chip player, build to get that other bookend offensive tackle, or if you see that person going back, then trade back. So I'd rather stand pat at 9.
Ralph, let me ask you this real quick, because as you were talking and you're like, when's the next time you're going to get a blue chip player? I was like, damn, where are the Bears going to be picking at next year? Let's play this game real quick, just you and I.
Where
do you think, so if the Bears are at 9 right now with their little baby 7 victories, where do you think they're going to be drafted next year?
My heart tells me.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do this.
My heart tells me in the perfect world, mid-20s. Mid-20s. In a perfect world, the next 10 years, I would want them to be mid-20s. But, you know, I'm 40 years old. I've been a Bears fan since I was 8 years old. So
yeah.
I don't want to be the bad news Bears. I don't want
to
be.
No. We have to reinvent ourselves, Ralph. We have to reinvent ourselves.
Exactly.
Say it.
Say it
with your chest. 22. We're going to be picking 22 next year. Say it with your chest.
Exactly, Gabe. Exactly. I want to be in the middle of the pack, and I want to be perennial. At that level.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. I really appreciate it, man. 312-644-6767. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, after next week, Thursday, we as Bears fans are no longer going to be able to lean on the narrative that we're just some schmucks that get it wrong. At least not until the season starts. We get a window from April 25th, 6th, until game one of the regular season to have what's at the very least is false confidence. At the very least. Because it could turn into actual confidence and actual success. But we can live there instead of being like, I don't know. Oh, Justin Fields, 50-50, sucks, doesn't suck. Caleb Williams sucks, doesn't suck. Bears, Brian Poles, I don't know. No. April 26th, we get to say, as an organization, as a fan base, we're here. We should be able to compete at a high level. But again, the draft still has to happen. It's going to happen next Thursday. And I'm cool with taking more calls. You cool with taking more calls? I love it.
Absolutely.
Alex Kuhn producing today. Again, man, Cubs game postponed. So, you know, we're filling in all the way till 9 o'clock. So, again, 312-644-6767. It's not just whether or not the Bears should trade up or not. If you got some Bears thoughts too, I have no problem leaning heavy into this Bearsdom that we're doing right now, all right? But the number 9 pick, no consensus. Everybody has differences of opinions. Even Ralph threw in a third option, which is stand pat. What should the Bears do? What do you want the Bears to do? Trade up, trade down, or as Ralph said, stand pat. 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez. Right here on The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.